In the book of Revelation, we unfortunately, we have to leave heaven and come back to earth. You got it. No need me to go over.
There is
that. There is that heaven that you see above you.
Okay.
The Bible calls it the firmament. There is that heaven above that where the planets are, where everything is revolving. And then there is, Paul says, a third heaven where God dwells. Now, above that, I can't comment. I'm too stupid. But that's the three that I know of. And when the Bible says he'll make a new heaven and a new earth, it is everything that is below the third heaven will be. Yes, honey.
I'm just asking. I want to know, like, when you say it, the first one, the firmament, would that, is that earth?
No, that's the heavens, honey.
Well, I know.
The firmament. The earth is what we live on.
I know, but it sounded sort of like with the soul, with the soul. Or next.
Yes, the sky. The sky is falling. The sky is falling.
No. Okay.
See what you started, Sandy?
I'm sorry, Paul, but thank you for telling us because that.
Well, I just asked.
If we don't know the answer, we should ask.
You was asking what? I never got a question.
Was that the earth?
No, this is the earth. This is the earth. But we are in a universe, and we are in a solar system, and all that is made up of the stars and the planets and those we know about and those we don't know about, you know. But there is that which you look up and see and you say, oh, the sky is pretty today. Yes. And then at night, you see into the second heaven because you see what? The stars. So,
but that's not where God is.
No, he's above that. He's above that. And where that is, I don't know. One of these days you'll find out. Now, I don't have a clue now what I'm doing. Because my recorder got all fouled up. When my recorder gets fouled, I don't know where I'm at. We are in the book of Revelation. I will start over. And we now come from heaven back to earth. And when I said that, it triggered a question, which triggered a question, which got me out. Now, John is called up. Now, John is not himself returning back to earth. It is the events that will be taking place on earth. In other words, what John saw when he was taken up was heaven or the throne room. It is that which Hebrews says, let us come boldly before the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's where John was. And that's where John saw the four living creatures around the throne, and the 20 and four elders around the throne. And then when we got to chapter 5, we saw a whole host of angels and people around the throne that was 10,000 times 10,000s and thousands of thousands, and we could not number it because he says, if you could number it, you could number the sands of the sea nor the stars, and you can't. We have no idea. We have no idea who's going to be there. We're going to be shocked who's not there. We're going to be shocked who is there. Boy, you're full of questions this morning, aren't you? But that's where John was. Now, if you'll recall in chapter 5, there was something in the hand of him who sat upon the throne. It was a scroll or a book or the title deed to the earth. In other words, it was that which gives redemption. Romans says that all creation groaneth within itself, waiting for what? Waiting for the adoption, to wit, in other words, the redemption. There is two things that have not been redeemed. What is that? The earth, that's one. Good. And the second one? Huh? Well, oh, okay. I'll come to you then.
I was just answering her question.
You say, I'm redeemed. What does that mean, I'm redeemed? Well, okay, does that mean that the body you're in right now is redeemed? Well, then I got news for you. There's two things that have not been redeemed.
The earth
and the body. Yourself has been redeemed. But the body has not been redeemed. Because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But, remember, someone asked about who was asleep. Who was that?
Was it
Irma? No, it was Eileen. Yeah. She wanted to know what it meant to be asleep. Well, it means that you're unaware of your surroundings, right? I mean, everybody knows what it means to go to sleep, right? You don't have a clue what's going on. I don't know what Miss Kitty does during the night. Because I am oblivious to what goes on during the night because I am asleep. But in the morning, I wake up. Now, I don't slap myself, shake myself. I just wake up. But if I'm dead, you can slap me, shake me. You can do anything you want to. But I'll guarantee you, you cannot wake me. That's why it's called sleep, honey. Because he can wake you, he can shake you, he can call you.
When he calls, you will.
You will wake up. You will wake up. That's why it's referred to as sleep. Now listen, I don't believe in soul sleep. Okay, so don't run out and say, oh, Tom believes in soul sleep. No, your body sleeps. Your soul, be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Listen, your soul, your spirit is gone on to be with the Lord. And one day, when the Father looks over and says, it's time, son, and he comes, we come with him. But our bodies are immediately resurrected. It is an instantaneous thing. It is like, here comes the spirit, here comes the body. Woo. And it happens in the twinkling of an eye. And then you're redeemed. And then after the tribulation period, after the 1,000-year reign, he makes a new heaven and a new earth. He finally finishes redemption's plan, in which now everything that he bought with his blood, and folks, without the shedding of blood, there is no redemption. No remission of sin. Listen, there is no redemption for it. Nothing is bought back except with the price that it requires. Blood. But that blood on Calvary paid for our sin, and it paid for redemption of earth, and he will make a new one where the curse is gone. And then you won't have dead trees. Do you know why trees die? Because of the sin curse, same reason we die. But in the new world, in the new earth, that won't happen. Now, but there are events now that must take place on earth. Now, I told you that the book of Revelation is about two things. What did I tell you it was about? It's about two things.
Judgment.
Huh? Well, that's a general statement, judgment. But a specific thing that it is about is what? Huh? That's one thing. What's the second thing? It also starts with an R, by the way. It helps you to remember. Huh? Well, that's a general statement. I'm talking about a specific thing. Huh? Well, now that's a general statement. I'm talking about a specific thing. Huh? Oh, restore what? See? Now add something to that. Restoration. Now, restoration of what? Starts with an I. Second letter's S. Third letters are. Yes. So it's about the revelation of Jesus Christ. And the revelation of Jesus Christ, the revealing of Jesus Christ, brings on what he promised. The restoration of Israel. He said Israel right now has been cut off. And the Gentiles have been grafted into the tree. But there is a day coming in which the times of the Gentiles will end. And then will begin the restoration, or the grafting again, as Romans calls it, grafting again of Israel back into the tree. Which when they are grafted back into the tree, what do they get? I wish you'd say these things louder. That's exactly right. The land they were promised, the peace they were promised, everything that God promised them, he's going to fulfill it. Just like with us. Everything that he's promised the Gentile that would believe in him, we get it. There's not a promise that he won't fulfill in our lives that he's said he would give us that we won't get. Well, it's the same thing with Israel. But it's not all Israel. It is that remnant. As we will find out, whose names are written in the book. That's who. So that's what Revelation is about. And unfortunately, and I say unfortunately because it's the only word I can think of. And maybe it's not a correct phraseology, but I'll use it anyway. To restore Israel, they have to go through an enormous amount of pain. An enormous amount of persecution. Three-fourths of all Israel will die. You say, how many is that? Thousands of thousands. Ten thousands times ten thousands. I don't know. Nor does anyone else know the number, but God knows. He knows exactly. So, now, we are going to the sixth chapter of Revelation. And the sixth chapter starts with the seven seals. And so if you would turn to Daniel. Now, how many were here during the time? Boy, it's getting cold in here now, isn't it? They fixed the air conditioning. I tell you what, that Rick, he can do anything. He's multitasking Rick. He can. No, don't put that up there. Take that off. Oh. Okay. Where was I?
What chapter?
We're in chapter 7. Chapter 7. Now, I'm going to read a lot, because how many of you were here when I taught Daniel? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Only 6. Only 6 of you. Boy, where were the rest of you? Huh? So we got 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people. Six. The rest of you weren't here when I taught Daniel? Huh? Well, if you're sure you were, you supposed to do this. I mean, I counted 6, and the rest of you just sat there. You guess you was here? Well, this is some kind of class. Can anybody tell me if I was here?
Okay.
All right. Now, Daniel is about two things. Daniel is about the Gentile times and the times of Israel. Now, Daniel sees multiple visions, right? But also Nebuchadnezzar saw a vision. And you remember that Nebuchadnezzar saw a vision, and his vision was of the Gentile times, right? And so after a period of time, Daniel gets a vision. And in his vision, it's about not Gentiles, although Gentiles are mentioned, but it moves past Gentiles to Israel. Now, why would that be? Because when the Gentiles, when the times of the Gentiles is finished, then it moves to what? The restoration of Israel. So he gets again the view of Gentile nations, kingdoms. But then it moves, it morphs into, from going to the Gentile nations, into how that last Gentile nation is going to affect Israel's restoration. So he says in chapter 7, he says, in the first year, now I'm just going to read, so you have to stay with me. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told some of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. Now, what would you pick out of that one verse right there that you think maybe might fit in with what we've said already? Well, if you look at the four winds of heaven, what would you think that that's significant of, or what would you say that that points to? No.
The four corners of the earth?
No. Thank you, Dwayne. Dwayne pays attention in here. The rest of you don't pay attention. Listen, if you go back to Ezekiel, you see that this great wind is around the one on the throne. And where are the four living creatures? Around the throne. So they are like the one on the throne. And so it said, when it's talking about the four winds of heaven, it's the same thing as Ezekiel saw the four living creatures. It's the same thing as John saw the four living creatures. It's just phrased different. So he says the four winds of heaven strove upon the great sea. They're powerful. They're powerful because they are around the throne where all the power is. They're powerful because they have the authority from the one on the throne who has all power. So that if they say to the sea, be still. It is. Why? Because when Jesus rose up in that boat and said, peace, be still, guess what happened? It was still, because he has all authority. God has all authority. Listen, when you're around the throne, you're more like the one on the throne. That's why I said we need more of a look towards heaven, so that we have all that in our lives. And I realize that's hindered. I do. I realize there's inhibitions to that. I realize that. He says, and four great beasts came up from the sea. Now there is your... But they are the Gentile kings, okay? Because it will go on to tell you that. And diverse from one from the other, like a lion and whatnot. And I'm skipping over to verse 7. And this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast. Now notice that the first three were like a lion and a bear and a leopard. Now file that, because somewhere over in Revelation you're going to see that. It's going to come back, and it's going to fit right in. But the fourth beast is the one you want to focus on, because the fourth beast is not limited to a certain period of time. The first three are. They have their, in other words, the Babylonian kingdom, it had its time, and then the Medo-Persian kingdom came in and took over. And it had its time, and then the Grecian kingdom came in and took it over. But the fourth beast, which was the Roman Empire, does not stop. You say, what? Does not stop. Somewhere, now I don't know where, but the spirit that was in that kingdom, God has it in place somewhere. And this kingdom one day, in where it's located in this world, not in little skirts and swords and plumes on the helmets and all that. Not talking about that. We're talking about where it was. You're going to see it. It's over in Revelation. You're going to see it. But here, he says this one was different than the others. Well, it's different because of that. See, he says it's dreadful. And it was terrible. And strong exceedingly, it had great iron teeth, it devoured and broke in pieces and stamped residue. We know without any doubt, there is no one that studies the Bible that would not tell you that that's the Roman Empire. No one. And he says, and from the beast there were before it, and it had... Listen, you're going to see that over in Revelation, folks. This exact same kingdom, exactly as Daniel saw it, just in a different time frame, a different time span. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another... See how everybody just jumped on that? Antichrist? What was it, Antichrist, or was it Titus? Now, why would you? Now, I said that, and everybody goes, your bubble wasn't burst. Titus is what we call an anti-type. It is talking about Titus in that verse, but it's not talking about Titus in that verse. Titus is a type of the Antichrist. So when it's talking about that, it's talking about, it's like this. The prince of Persia, was the prince of Persia a man or was it Satan? And you say the answer is yes. Well, both are yes. The answer is yes. In other words, if you read that, you see that the prince of Persia was a man. He was a king. But when it's described as one in the Garden of Eden, well, you know immediately that he wasn't in the Garden of Eden. So who's it talking about? The only one that was in the Garden of Eden. Satan. So you know that it's, there again, it's a man. It's like the Antichrist. Y'all quit jumping over here and jumping over there. Stay with me, brother. You stay with me, John. You're doing, hey, I like it. I like it. You're thinking. Let me ask you something. Is there a Trinity? Name the Trinity. Huh? Okay, now name the second Trinity. Huh? Name the second Trinity. Well, if I tell you the answer, there's no need for me to ask you. It is Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. Okay? Now, why is that? Hey, whatever. Listen, if God sends Christ, Satan's going to send his Christ. That's why the Bible says, if you hear that it's Christ and he's out here, don't go. It's not him. He's imitating. He knows God's plan. He's imitating. Why do you think that the Bible says all those who don't receive the truth, the truth, are sent a strong delusion that they should believe the lie and be damned? Listen, everyone knows about God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. But if you don't believe that with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, one of these days, if you're alive, you will believe the Antichrist. You will believe the false prophet. You won't have a choice. You won't have a choice because are they that strong? No, you won't have a choice because God sends you strong delusion that you should believe the lie. God's going to do it. Listen, Pharaoh, you remember Pharaoh? God says he's going to harden his heart. He's going to harden his heart. And every time he hardened his heart. Well, what finally happened? No. What finally sealed his fate? Was it because he hardened his heart? No, the Bible says God hardened his heart. See, you can only go so far, folks, rejecting Christ. You can reject him once too often, and God will seal you right there, and you're done. I don't care if you live 40, 50, 60 more years. If God seals you, you're done. You're out. You say, well, he's a God of mercy. He wouldn't do that. He won't. He can do whatever he wants to. He's God. Listen, I tell you what, I've talked too good in here. I've just talked too. Now everybody is teachers. Good. Hey, honey, it was my next point. Wonderful. I'm not listening. It's wonderful when you. I love it. I do. I love it. It means you're putting this together, and it's difficult. It's not easy. It's not easy, but it's good. So he goes on and says, now, how do I know that the Roman government goes past or the Roman kingdom goes past the time of the Roman kingdom. How do I know that? It's in the Bible. How many of you believe it's in the Bible? Raise your hand if you believe it's in the Bible. Raise your hand, brother. Do you not believe it? You do believe it, don't you? You don't want to raise your hand? Okay. You know why, too, don't you? Yeah, I'm coming over and saying a word. He's pulling the Becky rule on me. It's all over. So you believe it's in there? Word.
I stand on the Becky rule.
Oh, it's in Daniel.
Excuse me. Good girl. The next verse tells you, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did see it.
That's right.
When is that? Well, that goes back to chapter 4 and 5 in Revelation. Listen, it's over then. So he says, whose garment was white as snow. Have you heard that anywhere? Oh, chapter 1 of Revelation. Whose hair was... whose head was like pure wool. And did we read that in Revelation? Oh, I reckon we did. And his throne was like the fiery flame. Where did we see that? No. Yeah, who said that? That was the same that Ezekiel saw when he went, when he had his vision of heaven. And his wheels, remember? Ezekiel saw the wheel in a wheel, a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands and thousands ministered to him. 10,000. Well, I just read you that last week in chapter 5. There it is. So I know that fourth kingdom is still alive. I don't know where it is. I don't know where the spirit of it is. But I can tell you right now, it's still alive. And one of these days, Satan is going to incarnate a man on this earth. He's going to become the Antichrist. And he's going to head up that kingdom. Just as sure as you're sitting where you're sitting. I don't know all the ins and outs and ups and downs of it. But I know that for a fact. Because God incarnated Christ, right? Satan's going to imitate. He's going to incarnate. Listen, what if that's not true? Now, if that's not true. See, I'd use the Bible. I make my arguments from the Bible. I don't make my arguments from what I think. If that wasn't true, and I know I'm jumping ahead, but it's okay because you'll forget it the time I get there. When the false prophet and the Antichrist are taken. Remember, they go out against the Lord and His army, right? You remember that? And they've got their big army. And it says, there's no battle. It just says, and the Antichrist and the beast and the false prophet were taken. And they were cast into the lake of fire. But the army was destroyed with fire out of his mouth. The army was made up of humans. But the Antichrist, the beast, and the false prophet, they weren't human. They were demons. That's why they were just taken and cast into the lake of fire. Listen, when he came across and there's you say, Tom, I thought it was in chapter 6. I am. There's a madness to it. Just stay with me. When he crossed over and he came to the man of Gadara, you remember that? And he was possessed with all these demons, right? Okay? And he spoke to them. No one else had spoke to those demons. You remember? And they said, why have you come to torment us now? They knew it was going to be down the road, but they thought it was going to be later. And he says, have you come to torment us now? And he said, listen, you come out of the man. And they said, well, I know we're going to come out because you told us to. But don't send us to the, starts with a P, next letter's I. The God. What's the pit? Thank you. Don't send us there. Let us go over here into these swine. And he said, go. What happened? And that's some of the best sausage you ever seen. No, nobody else ate it either because the swine ran down the hill into the lake and drown. But the evil spirits, the demons, I don't know where they are. But they didn't want to go to the pit. Now one day the pit's going to be opened. And the Bible says locust comes out, but it's not locusts. What is it? Oh, it's demons. Because they've been put there. Now, so he says, a fire stream issued, came forth from him, thousand. I read that. I beheld them because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake. Uh-oh. Who's the horn? Well, we know now it's Antichrist. I beheld even till the... When I just told you about that, didn't I? See, you thought I didn't know that. It takes you right on through until the beast is slain. And he says, I beheld till the beast was slain. And he says, and his body destroyed and given to the... Isn't that what Revelation says? They were cast into hell. There you go. And concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion. Now he's going to go back and he says, these other three... Before that, oh, they had their time. He says, I just want to remind you. They had their time. And even after they their kingdom was gone, they had a season of time. And then they were gone. But he wants you to know that there's a far greater difference between those three and that fourth one. And that's what enamored Daniel here. That's what sort of caught him. Now, look over, if you will. And he's sort of giving him an understanding of all this. And he says over in verse 16, I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me to know the interpretation thing. These great beasts, which are four kings which shall rise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever and ever. In other words, when it's all said and done, the people of God, starts with a W, next letter's I, win. See, it just moves you. It just moves you right on past that. Because by now, you're starting to get a little desperate and in despair. And he says, well, let me tell you, I've read the back of the book and we win. And as I go through these 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, as I go through these chapters, you're going to feel some of that. Because it's gruesome. It's not one of those shouting things. I mean, when it says that three-fourths of all Jewish people are going to die, that's not something I rejoice in. Nor should anyone else. But it's fact. It's fact. But not just Jewish people. Gentile people. It's going to be a time of death. It's going to be a time of war, earthquake, famine. It's going to be a time of... Now, I know some people don't believe this literal. I do. It's going to be a time in which 100-pound hail balls are going to fall from heaven. Now, listen, I've never been hit with a small piece of hail. I bet it hurt. But I'm going to tell you what, if a 100-pound hail ball hits you, it'll do more than hurt. As they say, sometimes you're the bug and sometimes you're the windshield. It will squash you. But folks, that's during the wrath of God. That, you know, and then I'm done for today. There is 3.5 years of peace. The Antichrist comes in and he promises Israel peace. And he signs this peace pact with them. And for 3.5 years they have this time of peace. But then he snatches it away. And wars break out everywhere. And wars cause famine. And famine and wars cause death. That's why it says in the fourth seal, when the fourth seal is broken, death and hell are the riders on the horses, and they go out. Well, folks, they're not going out for a party. It won't be a good time. It won't be a good time for anybody to be on this earth. But it is all a part. And this is what I rejoice in. It's all a part of the restoration of Israel. And I'm going to say this in closing. And this is not political, please. I hope you know I don't ever get political in here. But the day this country turns on Israel will be the worst day we've ever had. But that day's coming. This country will turn against Israel. And God says this, those who bless Israel, listen, we have been their... what's the word? Ally. Who said that? We have been their ally for years, since 1948, since they returned to the land. And God has blessed us above any nation in the world. Donald Trump's not made us great, folks. Don't buy that. Listen, I voted for him. That's fine. I don't care. But he's not going to make this country great. He's not going to keep this country great. I'll tell you what will make this country great. The day we turn back to God. God will make us great. But the day we turn against Israel, God will curse us. And I don't care who's president, Republican, Democrat, or whatever. We're done. Well, we'll get to chapter 6, I promise. But I can't get you there next week because I got to take you on farther to more groundwork.
Well, I'd like to say something. My father was in World War II.
Uh-huh.
As a small child, I'm talking about 5 or 6 years old, he instilled that in my heart. He said, don't ever say anything against Israel. And I didn't know what it meant by the time that I've gotten older.
Yeah.
Don't ever say anything.
And, you know, and I realize that for the most part they are atheists. I realize that. Agnostic, I realize that. But it's Israel. It's God's chosen nation, and he'll deal with them. I'm just going to bless them. Pray for them. All right. See you next week. And now it's getting hot in here again. Whatever Rick did is